Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I'm appreciative to be here tonight. Pastor Michael asked me to speak and teach. And what we're going to talk about is giftings and talents. And in a world where people just seem lost with what to do with themselves, I think it's important for the body of Christ to know that you're not here by accident. I know at work, sometimes we'll hire people in, we'll want to fill a spot, and we'll bring them in, and they're just there and like, well, what do you want us to do? Well, we'll find something for you to do. Well, what's my job? Well, we'll find something for you. And eventually some of those people go, you know, I'm going to go look for somebody else to pay me because they might know what they want me to do, and you guys don't seem to know yet. And that makes me a little nervous, so I'm going to look. We don't serve a God that's made us that way. We weren't created to be here and then for him to find some purpose for us. He had a purpose when he made you. Before you were born, he had a purpose for you. And it's not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not out of place by his design. You can be out of place by your choice, but you are not out of place by his design. So what we want to look at is that there is a purpose from God from the beginning. And I've got quite a few scriptures. I don't know that we'll go real long tonight, but what we lack in length, we'll make up for in scriptures. Okay? Because that's where we're at for this one. Ephesians 2 and 10. If you can turn there. I promise you I'm only going to read what's in this Bible. So if you can't make it there, I've learned that from Pastor Michaels. He'll be like flipping scriptures, and I'm like, dude, I can't read it because I can't even get there in time. I'm three scriptures behind. I'm literally three scriptures behind. So Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul tells you right there, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus, that your purpose was created before even you were. So there is never a moment in your life that God is allowing you to think that you're an accident, that you're a mistake. You're not. He had a purpose for you. He has a place for you to fit into his kingdom, into his work, into his plan. And I think about that as God's creating the universe, and as Jesus is there with him, and they know all things, that somewhere there's like, yeah, we got a plan for Marshall. We got a purpose. It's maybe teaching a Sunday school class, which I'm a teacher, and we'll talk about the giftings and the gift testings, the opportunity to do that. But there's helps, there's evangelism. There's so many opportunities and so many purposes, but none of them are by accident. None of them are by accident. It's not by accident if you're helping put chairs up after an event or put chairs out for an event. It's not an accident, even though it might seem like an accident about to happen, if you're serving in children's church, right? And I say that, and I mean this honestly. When the Covenant Community Church was in Muhlenberg County, somehow I ended up teaching one of the kids' classes. I'm like, you know, I can do this, but I'm more of an adult teacher. And they're like, well, how did you know? I said, I knew that because after the second or third minute, when I thought running, screaming out the door was the best option, and then I decided probably shouldn't leave the kids alone because we won't have a church. So I realized that maybe that's not my calling, right? Maybe that's not my calling. But I do have a calling, and we all have a calling. And if you look at James, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or no shifting shadow." God hasn't changed. So if your gifting and your purpose, whatever he created you for, whatever he created you for, if that's still there and he's the one who created it, he hasn't changed. So his purpose for your life hasn't changed. And one of the great purposes for you that God has is good. His purpose is good. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're always going to be comfortable? Absolutely not. And I probably say this every time I get up here because it's impossible for me to ever forget. And I'm thankful. But I remember this seventh grade class book report where I'm standing there trembling in front of a class and I knocked the podium off over. His name was Wes Dillingham. And I remember him because he was sitting right in front of me and we were friends. And we were still friends after I hit him in the head with the podium, amazingly. Because he didn't have the best life choices at that point by choosing me as a friend. But I was so shaky speaking in front of people. I shook the podium off the table because I'm grabbing the table because I'm like, there's got to be a hole up here that they're going to hit at some point, and I'm just going to drop through. So I'm going to hang on to this table and I'll be safe. But in the meantime, my shaking just knocks the podium off on him. If you told 7th grade Marshall that I would ever speak up here, I'd be like, you guys are crazy. That's not happening. But God's purpose didn't change. I changed because I matured and grew. And what I matured and grew into is to understand that it's not my strength that fulfills the purpose. It is absolutely not my strength that has to fulfill a purpose. He's there to help me do that. But don't make any mistake in believing that he doesn't have a purpose, or that once he sees you make a mistake or three mistakes or 300 mistakes in your life, he goes, well, we're going to just mark that person off. We're going to mark Marshall off because he did this or he did that. It says God doesn't change. It says God's purpose isn't going to change for you, and it's for good. Another aspect of this is that God's call is to find and fulfill you. Have you ever ran from God's purpose or his call on your life? And people say, well, you can't run from God. Well, you can. Jonah ran from God. Many, many people have ran from God. I mean, you can hear their testimonies. I know that Pastor Michael's planning a testimony and service at some point in the future. And you're going to hear them, and one of the things you'll hear probably somebody say is, I knew what God wanted me to do, and once I figured out what that was, I ran as hard as I could the other direction. Because people do that. I've done that. Many people do that. You can run from God's call, but you can't run and be comfortable running from God's call. One of the neat things I found, and I finally learned about the Holy Spirit is once you get a call, it's not a discussion. Once God wants you to do something, it's not a barter trade. I know when we went to Israel, they were like, whatever you do, don't take the first price. Just try to barter with them, you know, trade with them, get their price down. There's no pricing down the Holy Spirit. If he calls you to teach a class, this is just my free advice. Just teach the class, people. Because it's not worth, you can't outrun the call. But all you're going to do is run around exhausted and be miserable because the Holy Spirit's still calling you. And it doesn't change. It says, I want you to do this. This is, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit says. And when you get done bartering and saying all these excuses, he's going to say, I want you to do this. This is what the Holy Spirit says. And that's just going to keep going and going. So let's look at Proverbs 22:29. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I don't know what your calling is or what your purpose is that God has for you. I know mine's not what Pastor Michael's is. And I'm always thankful for that. Because it's really, I can imagine on Sunday morning seeing a thing full of people and everything hadn't gone right for you, and now you're going to preach two messages, not just one. You get to do it twice. That's a lot of pressure. And that doesn't even account for the fact that everything he's going to be accountable for, right? Because we've all heard the scripture, you know, if you preach, you're going to be held to a higher standard. So I don't want to be held to that standard. Right? I want the low standard. I'm like, what, just as low as we can get it, because I'm struggling here, you know. Thanks, Ed. But whatever you're called to do, whether it's Pastor Michael's calling, and there may be some people in here who are, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's serving and cooking and doing helps in the church, or serving in the children's church, soundboard, whatever it is, music ministry, you will stand before kings doing what God calls you to do. I would rather pick up the trash doing what God wants me to do than be famous doing something he doesn't want me to do. And if you don't believe that, look at all the people who have all the wealth in the world, all the fame in the world, and are so miserable they have to take 9 kinds of drugs and alcohol just to survive looking at themselves in the mirror. You can stand before kings doing what God wants you to do, but you cannot stand complete and happy without doing what God wants you to do. And just to show how far back this purpose of God goes for your life, look at Exodus 35 and 10. Exodus 35, verse 10. And it says, "And let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded." Now he's calling them to make the tabernacle. So all these skilled workmen are coming together to build this enormous, amazing place for the presence of God. That's what you are. Whatever God has called you to do, he wants you to be a skilled workman in his service. That's not easy for me to feel. I always feel that way about when Pastor Michael says all the saints, and I'm like, man, I don't want to say I'm a saint. That feels so uncomfortable. But you are skilled. God has a purpose for you, and he will, whether you're all ready to do it now or not, he's going to provide you with a way to meet in his goal and his purposes for your life. But one thing that's kind of difficult in the church is to see all the different talents, and one thing that humans always want to do is rank them. You want to rank where you are, who you are, what you're doing. And we do that at work. We do that in a lot of places. There isn't really a necessity in this house to rank what your purpose is. We sometimes associate that with love. That can be a real misconception. Pastor Michael does an amazing job of studying and teaching the Word. Absolutely amazing job. And all the things he's went through, all the classes in college that he's done to do that, I appreciate it. I'm glad I get to take some of that, take notes down, without having to go to Birmingham, England to get my bachelor's degree, PhD, and doctorate, and all those things. But that doesn't mean God loves him more than the person at the desk checking in the children on Sunday morning. God's love is even for us all. So whatever God has called you to do, don't ever think it's less than Pastor Michael's, less than R.T. Kendall's, less than Perry Stone, less than Jeremy and the praise team. And when I was younger, just to give you a kind of an idea, when I was a kid, I knew what my purpose in life was. Because there was 3 things I was going to be. 1 was a soldier. 2 was the shortstop for the New York Yankees. And 3, I was going to take over for a very famous bass player in a very rock and roll band. And that was what I was going to be. I had to be destined to do all this stuff. Well, if you've ever heard me with music, the word joyful noise would be taking out of Scripture, but like take that out of Scripture, because that boy is not joyful and it is a noise. I did get to play shortstop for a Hanson Hunter Little League team. That wasn't quite what I thought would be, right? I was kind of thinking more about millions in the Bronx. And I did get to be a soldier. I had that thought planned out. I didn't think I was going to teach a Sunday school class. At that time, my grandmother was just happy to get me to Sunday school class. Because, again, as I've said before, Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee were wrestling. There's just some important stuff going on here. I didn't know he was going to ever have me speak like this in front of a church. I had no idea what God's purpose was. And I certainly didn't expect that when I was younger and terrified of speaking. But God does that. He has a plan, and you don't always have to understand it. So some of those boyhood things that I thought I was going to be, I grew to realize, well, I might not be all these things, but all these things I thought and learned and grew, now I can turn that over to Christ, and he can turn it into something new, something different, something with a purpose in his kingdom. And that's where different talents come in. We make up an amazing puzzle, if you think about it. We don't always, when you take a puzzle piece out and you put it with another puzzle, it doesn't go, it doesn't fit. But God has designed this puzzle, Covenant Community Church, to fit together and work and create this beautiful picture. And what picture are we supposed to create? The image of Christ to the world that's lost, that doesn't know him. So how do our talents fit into that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 6. I'm going to use that scripture twice. The other one's going to be a little bit longer, but these two verses, I think, are really good for this, if I can find it. There we go. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 6 says, "And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. And these are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." So whatever your purpose and you're called to do, it's one Lord. And really, your purpose, your individual purpose, is just a small component of a much bigger purpose. We can lose sight of that sometimes. When I'm trying to study for my adult Sunday school class and I'm trying to do something else, I lose sight of, it's not about just this Sunday school class. It's about something bigger. It's a small pebble creating a much bigger ripple through a much larger lake. Romans 12:3 also speaks to this. I told you guys there was a lot of scriptures. But I'm not really sorry about that, because I kind of think that's pretty good to have scripture in a church, right? Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Man, that's a word I can't say today. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So I think you guys have heard Pastor Michael talk about the gifts assessment that they have. I was fortunate enough, I took one here. And we used to have a Covenant Community Satellite Church in Muhlenberg County, and I took one there. So one of the really neat things about that was it kind of told you where you were. Mine was teaching every time, teaching and discernment, 98, 96%, 96. One of the more depressing things was my mercy was like 2, 3. One of them was like, retake the test, you missed it. You had to miss this section, right? And I don't know exactly why. I've grown from that a lot, understanding that, but it was always teaching, and I understood that. I always loved history. And while everybody else was sitting there going, this is dumb, this is stupid, I'm like, give me some more work. Like, let me skip algebra. Let me do that. How about let's do that? So teaching and studying and learning this is exciting and interesting, and getting to share it and talk about it is fun. But what I found is even better is having that Sunday school class where other adults talk and I get to learn while I'm teaching the class. I get to listen and share and be a part of their lives. So that's my purpose. That doesn't mean he won't have me do something else. I'm always thankful it wasn't to be a missionary in Uganda or in Indonesia or in Antarctica or somewhere, because I'm like, I don't want that calling. I don't want that calling. If we're just being honest, I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that one. But teaching was, for me, when I first started, unsettling, because remember the story of the seventh grade marshal knocking podiums over because he shakes so much. It doesn't always feel comfortable. It doesn't always feel easy. And God's going to stretch you. Sometimes he stretches you to fit you into the place and purpose he wants you for in the future. And I don't like being stretched. I'm not really, and you can ask my wife, I struggle with change really bad. And we go to work, and they're like, well, we want you to change jobs. It'll be a promotion. I'm like, oh, my gosh, why are y'all doing this to me? I just figured this out. I've been doing it for 10 years. Leave me alone. Get out of here. You know? So change isn't always easy. But one thing about God is he might not change who he is. He might not change his purpose for your life. He may add to it. But what he will change if you let him is you. And his purpose for changing you is just not because he wants to see you a different shape or a different person. It's because he wants you to fulfill your purpose to the utmost that you can. Because it's a good plan. His plan has always been better than mine. I don't always think that way at the moment. But once I get done messing things up and he helps me get out of it, I'm like, oh yeah, God, your plan was much better. Much better. And this, as we just read, we've read a few from the Old Testament. I want to read one more. This isn't a New Testament thing. This isn't something the apostles brought in. This isn't something of the New Covenant. From the beginning of time, God has had a plan for people. When he's created them, he does not create you and go, okay, let's see what we can figure out for you to do today. He has a purpose. So if you look at Exodus 31, 3 through 5, it says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze and in the cutting of stones for setting and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Again, this is a specific point and specific thing, and there's lots of things that go into that. But what he's saying is he's created you with a purpose. You may wonder why you drew whatever gift or talent you have. Some are more visible. You know, we have the praise and worship team. They're pretty visible, right? At just about every service you get to see and hear them. Pastor Michael has that gifting. You can go to teaching, and you're visible and you're heard, but you're on a smaller scale. Then you think of the preachers of the word like T.D. Jakes and Perry Stone, Billy Graham. Oh my gosh, how big and massive their influence and their impact is on people. But God has a purpose for each and every one of us, and his disbursement of the gifts has a reason. So if we look at 1 Corinthians one more time, verse 12, 4 through 11. Ooh, I hope I didn't just lose my page. We read a little bit of this earlier, 12, 4 through 11. And we read through the varieties of the gifts. Which one did we do? 6. But if we pick up at 6 where it says, in these varieties work in God who works all things in purpose. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you want a definition of what your purpose is for. It's for the common good. The common good of what? The common good of your family? Yes. The common good of your church? Or maybe your small group that you serve in? Maybe you serve in covenant care. Common good, right? But it's bigger. The common good of God's plan to save as many people as is willing. That's your common good. We're his hands and feet. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and even into the 2000s, you hear all these songs about us being his feet and going out and doing all these things for him. And then you go to church and you're like, hey, can you help me move? Oh, well, let me pray about it. Now, let's understand. If somebody's asking you to lead a ministry and stuff, you need to pray about it. I'm not making light of that. If somebody asks you to help them move a chair, you probably don't have to pray about that. You could probably help them move the chair. And we want to help and we want to be used. But then when we get opportunities, we won't. When you would think, I would tell myself, I'd be like, if God calls me to do something, I'm going to just jump on that and do it. But you know, I'd be lying to you people. I'd be lying. There's times he's called me to do stuff and I'm like, oh Lord, I'm going to give you about 2 days to rethink that one. I don't know about that one. I'm going to give you 2 days because I'm not sure about that. And as I've matured, I'm not as bad at that, but in all honesty, that happens. It just happens sometimes. Some of that's because I don't feel worthy. I don't have to be worthy to be called. If his blood overrides my sin, his call overrides my unworthiness. Every time. I don't have to understand. I don't have to make myself ready. One of the great things, and I didn't even have this down, was, you know, when he called David, Samuel goes and finds David, and David ends up at the battle lines. And what was really amazing was to stand in that valley and see these battle lines, and you're going, yeah, I get this. This would have been upsetting. And to have an 8, 9, 10-foot giant walk out and just be absolutely blaspheming the God that you and your fathers had served your whole lives. And every soldier of Israel going, nope, not my day for that. I think it's his day. Let him go out there. And they're like, no, not me. And you're just sitting there. And David walks up, and he's not ready. He's bringing food to his brothers. That's how not ready David was. And what do they do? Once he says, hey, I'll go face him, they take him back. And they're like, let's get this. Let's put this on you. Let's put that around you. And he's walking around going, this ain't going to work, guys. I can't lift the sword. I can't lift my arms. I don't even think I can lift my eyelids at this point. You know, this isn't me. This isn't going to work. You don't have to prepare yourself in your own ways to meet God's purpose. But you do have to avail yourself to his preparations for you. That's really necessary. And I think David is an example of don't let other people who don't know God's plan for you, don't let you who don't understand God's need and how he's going to prepare you, get yourself away from being prepared properly. You don't have to be prepared. You don't have to be worthy to be called. For to the one who is given the wisdom, starting back at verse 8, through the Spirit, and the another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and another the effecting of miracles, and another prophecy, and another distinguishing of spirits, and another various kinds of tongues, and another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Not just as you negotiated, not just as you hoped, but just as God will. Now, that can at first seem a little daunting and upsetting, because maybe I wanted to be the worship leader. Maybe I wanted to be something different. But what better place than to have a purpose in your life that the God of the universe, who created all things, put there? How much more fulfillment could you ask for in life than finding that purpose that God put there and fulfilling it? It's not that he's trying to tell you he chose not to do something with you for a reason. He's saying, I have a reason for you. I have a purpose for you. Go fulfill it. And all the gifts matter. That's the one residing theme. And if you look in our last scriptures, Ephesians 4 and 11. And we'll actually read through. We'll read through 16. What's the point? What's the purpose of these gifts? What's the importance of finding your purpose and following it? And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers, for equipping for the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So then again, another purpose: to build up the body of Christ, to reach out for those who don't know him, to build up for the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, so what's one of the benefits of actually following your purpose? As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If you feel like you're being tossed about and you don't have your purpose, I'm not saying that'll answer every problem. I'm not saying that it's going to take away every issue or every storm. But if you don't know your purpose and you feel like you're being tossed about left and right, one of the things Scripture says will help you with that is to find your purpose. Find your purpose in Christ. Now, for the most part, we've talked about everything dealing within the church. One of those gift assessments I talked about actually did one for the secular world. One of my giftings was to be a history teacher. Another one was to be an infantry captain. So there, and I was like, well, okay, that's all right. None of them called for me to be a shortstop with the Yankees, if you're wondering. And I took that assessment 4 times trying to get that one, and I never could get those answers right. But the purpose isn't just in the church. Your purpose is then to fulfill your purpose here and then find out how that purpose reaches out to the world, to the lost. Because everything we do, to me, it's like putting together a puzzle piece. And when that puzzle piece is put together perfectly, which is hard, I realize we're not perfect, it's a reflection of the Christ who sent us in love. And that's the purpose when we reflect out into the world, is to show his love. Because the truth of the matter is, it would be nice if everybody that got invited came to church. You may be the only bit of Christ somebody sees today, tomorrow, the next day. You may be the last bit of Christ somebody sees before they go stand before him. One of the kind of interesting things that I found when he asked me to speak was, today's 9/11. Before that day, all those years ago, people went to bed and never thought what was about to happen would happen. never would. I'm sure if we were able to step back in time and ask those people who were living in on December 6, 1941, they would have never thought what was about to happen was going to happen. And those people who had soldiers, sailors, and Marines in Pearl Harbor that would never thought it was going to happen. Anytime we can be about God's purpose for us, it's important. But to be about His purpose, you have to know His purpose. And to appreciate that purpose, you have to understand how valuable you are to God. Because if He didn't care about you, He certainly wouldn't take the time to make a purpose for you. So, among all the things that it says in John 3:16, Jesus loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And I've always coupled that scripture with the other one that says, no greater love does a man have than he lay down his life for his brother. So Christ, the perfect Son of God, laid down His life for you, and that's how much love He had for you. But if you need a little bit more, the God of the universe, who was spinning everything into existence, took the time to say, you matter to me, and you matter so much, I'm not going to let you live your life without a purpose. I'm going to have a purpose for you. So I encourage you, don't ever feel so unworthy that you can't achieve and reach for your purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, don't ever feel so lost that you can't find it. You are in a church that wants you to find your purpose. And that's the church of Covenant Community Church and the Church of Christ. We want you to find your purpose. Because nothing is more difficult for the devil to accept than people following Jesus Christ who know their value and know their purpose. So just think on that. I'm assuming Pastor Michael will be back soon. When he comes back next Wednesday, I'm sure he'll have more to say on this, but just think on how important it is to know your purpose. Because the last thing I'll say is, and I think Pastor Michael said it several times, a thing that knows its purpose is going to be harder to be misused. And the enemy wants you misused, so you lay down your purpose. So know your purpose. So for all of those reasons. So thank you for listening tonight. We'll pray and dismiss. I think we're just about on time. That's not too bad. Father, thank you for this opportunity just to speak your word. And I pray that every word be your message, your will for their lives, Lord. I pray that, Lord, it be the will for my life, that we examine the purpose you have for us, that we seek to fulfill it, that we understand we don't have to be perfect in it, but, Lord, we will not have contentment without seeking your purpose. Let us just seek after you, go out into the world and show them your reflection and your love to the best of our ability, living in your mercy and grace as we go. And I pray all these things over each person. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.